You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Oh, man, always got to just get caught trying to...
Oh, we live.
We live. I'm trying to, like, I'm supposed to be professional in this situation, but I couldn't help myself. But there's always jokes before. Ladies and gentlemen, subscribe to the Patreon channel, but we're not going to get to that just yet. But the red light is on. So you know what that means. It must be Wednesday. It must be around 10:30-ish, maybe, on the East Coast. And it is time for another special edition of your favorite podcast, the Wrestling Realm Now podcast. I'm starting off with a slower vibe because today is going to be one of those shows. We've got some blockbuster news. We've got some hard-hitting wrestling that we got into this past week. And guess what? Your favorite group of good brothers are here once again to do you all a favor to break this down, to let you know what it is as Brian H. struts like Alex Wright, because the WWE is headed to Germany. But we have all that and more. TNA Wrestling is back. Let's get it.
Houston, we have a problem.
Yes!
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Wrestling Realm Now podcast, where we take a deeper dive into the world of professional wrestling. Now, you can watch all of our Wrestling Realm content anytime on youtube.com/The Wrestling Realm. I am your host, yours truly, the realness himself, the real Dwayne Allen. He is your host, the man, the myth, the legend, Brian H. Waters in the house. He's your host, brother. Brother, he was in the building. Has the third T to the A to the S, T to the H to the E, three to the R, to the D in the building as usual. And last but not least, the man, the king, the belt king of kings, Brandon the guy, the belt king himself. We are all here in full effect and in full force for today's special, special, special episode of the Wrestling Round podcast. Gentlemen, we're at episode 99. Oh, that's right. Man. Something, yes, sir. Something is coming, isn't it? As I will spin, I just want to provide you all for a little bit of advice. I want you to all go ahead and stream and download all of our audio content on Anchor, Stitcher, Podbean, Pocket Cast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, and Google Podcast. Watch us and subscribe to our Twitch channel at The Wrestling Realm. I'm trying something different, good brothers. I figured if I would just stop these dramatic pauses and build anticipation, it might add to the mix. But we want to say special thank you to everybody, because trust me, numbers are going up, subscribers are going up on our YouTube channel and our audio streaming platform. So we thank you for listening to us do what we do. If you want to be a part of what we do as The Wrestling Realm, shopwrestlingrealm.com. That's right. All your t-shirts, merchandise, more. We've got... we slashed prices and we've added new product. We have jackets, we have hoodies, we have mugs, we have so much more. So if you want to support the brand and be a part of what we do, head over to wrestlingrealm.com and you can pick up your Wrestling Realm merchandise from there. the brothers don't know it yet, but we're going to be adding a new segment to the show pretty soon, where we're going to be pretty much unboxing or unpacking some Wrestling Realm merchandise, hopefully almost every week, just to give the fans a good idea of what we have available, and we want to be a supporter and be pretty fly when Wrestling Realm gear. You'll see it first here on the Wrestling Realm Now podcast. So that is coming soon, so definitely stay tuned to that. But if you want to get ahead of the game and jump the line, definitely head over to WrestlingRealm.com for all of our Wrestling Realm merchandise. Also, we have a Patreon channel. All exclusive shows and bonus material, definitely head to patreon.com/wrestling_realm. There's so much that we have over there right now. That's where we write. That's where we speak. That's where we discuss things we can't say on the air. Brian H.'s thoughts. One of the most interesting pieces of material that you will ever read. Brian H. has a mind for the business like no other. So if you want to understand his thoughts on many different subjects, as well as so much more to come to Patreon channel, Reynolds Reacts is on his way, as well as also a number of exclusive shows and bonus material that we cannot speak about. But if you want all the tea about our wrestling heat and everything we have going on, patreon.com/wrestling_realm is the place to be. So we have three tiers right now. You can subscribe for just as low as $1. So support the brand, support our Patreon, join now. I know we've transitioned into the fall, and as things kind of changing as wrestling picks up, head over to SeatGeek.com. That's right. So if you're looking to purchase tickets to concerts, live events, sporting events, and more, most importantly, the Ravens, the Baltimore Ravens, head over to SeatGeek.com and use promo code WrestlingRealm. That's right. If you have never used this promo code before, do yourself a favor and save yourself $20 off of any purchase of $50 or more. Mm-hmm. Inflation is real. And SeatGeek is here to help you out because they have allowed us to provide you with a special promo code to do what we do best, educate and help. So if you have never used promo code WrestlingRealm, head over to SeatGeek.com and save yourself $20 or more on any purchase of tickets $50 or more. Most people don't travel by themselves. So if you bring a guest, bring a date, bring a cohort, whatever it may be, if you never use promo code WrestlingRealm, do yourself a favor. SeatGeek.com. If you bring a what?
If you bring a hue along with you.
Who said bring a hue?
If you bring a hue. Now we've got majority logistics away. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're not familiar with the new latest and greatest show through the Wrestling Realm brand, this is going to be one of those nights. Championship Culture. That's right. Brandon the guy, the Belt King himself, and Brother Hugh, looking like Wilson from Home Improvement. they have one of the greatest professional wrestling shows in the IWC and the internet wrestling community. If you head over to youtube.com/wrestlingrealm, look up Championship Culture Playlist, where you can catch up on all the material from Championship Culture, brought to you by Brother Hugh and Brandon the guy. Wait a minute, I don't have your— where's your thumbnail? I don't have the thumbnail yet, but it's gonna go up. Oh,
it's okay.
No, it's not okay. It's not okay.
Because I'm waiting for the notes from the show.
It's not okay.
It's gonna go. Synopsis, or you want to just give me your notes from the show?
No, I'm not gonna skip any steps.
Okay.
But this week's episode of Championship Culture was a very special one, and there has been a theme that's been going on for the last couple of weeks. See, I don't want to spoil it. I want people to go to youtube.com/WrestlingRealm and check out the Championship Culture playlist and catch up on what you have missed. But this week, Brother Brandon, what did you and Brother Hugh cook up this week for Championship Culture? Once again, one of the highest rated shows, the highest view shows we have on our YouTube channel today. These guys are the masterminds behind it. It's one of my favorite shows. It comes on every Tuesday. Usually released at what, 8 p.m. or 8:30 p.m. Eastern? What are we?
Is it?
Usually 8 p.m. Eastern. That's right. So if you want to catch it live, there's so much to it. I'll get into all that later, but go ahead. Brother Hugh, go ahead. Tell the people what this week's show is about.
Oh, you talking about Brother— you said Brother Hugh today. Okay.
Yeah, I said Brother Hugh.
Oh, my gosh.
It's trust me. I have shenanigans up my sleeve. This is the setup. I don't know if you're not watching this, ladies and gentlemen, tonight you missed out. Please go back on youtube.com/wrestlingrealm and watch what I'm about to do as soon as Brother Hugh lets everybody know what this week's episode of Championship Culture is about. And of course, Brother Brandon, jump in when you're ready.
Hey, yo, hold on. Wrestling Twitter need to be stopped.
What just happened?
Yeah.
Somebody tweeted, go get those tag titles, King. Because Andrade posted a picture of him and his daddy-in-law, Ric Flair, who made his debut or appearance on AEW tonight. He's like, go get those tag titles. That was Tony Khan's gift to Sting.
Nate, please tell me we're not getting Sting.
Right.
Anyway, I'm not doing it. Here we go. Still making history. The latest episode of Championship Culture. Gentlemen, let the people know.
Well, we took a trip down
to the championship about.
We took a trip down memory lane to give you all a little insight on what happened back in the day with the NXT women's title, the first version. And Brandon, did you want to go on from there?
Oh, that's all you get. That's all you
got. That's all I'm gonna give you. That's all I'm gonna give you.
Okay. So yeah, these women are still making history in their respective brands and their respective lanes per se, because yes, three of them are on SmackDown. One is independent wrestler, is that safe to say? And the other one is signed with AEW.
But the term is global superstar.
Thank you. Global superstar. international superstar, even so.
That's what we call all non-signed big time professional wrestlers, not in WWE.
And with the things that they've done. And we go into a little depth about what they did during the NXT brand. I even made a comparison to that belt, to the Divas belt, if you pay attention closely. But these women, you know, making history. But I don't want to say that history started there, but that's when we start paying attention to the things that they were doing back during that time of NXT, the black and gold days within the silver and pink era. That's what I'm going to say about
the actual wrestling portion of it.
Yes. Let's
put it that way.
Yeah. Wrestling. We're going to keep saying wrestling. Thanks.
Wrestling. Lots of wrestling.
We saw a lot of mud pits back in the day.
I know.
A lot of brawn panties.
What was that
matches.
Noise?
I just shout out to Brother Hugh, who's a photographer, who always kept it PG.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. Respectfully so.
Very shout professional. Yep, sorry. Respectful.
So go back and check out the theme of the last 3 weeks. And Igual viewers will see that, you know, it was volume 1, 2, or 3. And I think it's a total of, what, 7 volumes coming?
It's,
good
it's,
gosh.
It's a lot
of them. Off NXT.
Mm-hmm. So that was only volume 3. But it's going to be a break in between before you see volume 4. But volume 4 is going to come back in a little different. Don't you worry. It's coming.
Don't you worry about a thing.
But you know the part I'm waiting for now.
What's that?
Now usually this is the part.
Here we go.
Where I pull out some notes. Once again, if people are not familiar, I usually watch Championship Culture, and if when Brother Brandon does the live shows, I try to be as active in the chat as possible. I like to participate and disrupt the show at the same time. So I have too much fun because I don't have to do the show. I don't have to produce it. I don't got to be on it. And I love to engage in conversation. But when he doesn't have a live guest on the show, I still carry my notes and I like to bring it to this show a day later. Today's a little different though. It's because they have so much fun on Championship Culture. I want to give people a preview of what Championship Culture looks like if you haven't had the chance to actually watch it yourself. So it usually goes a little something like this. Hey everybody, this is me, Brandon the Guy, and I'm the Belt King. And welcome to Championship Culture, because you know, every belt has a story. Today's episode is about, look at this. Look, my camera's going out. It's just
exactly, because you're full of shenanigans.
Hold on, here we go.
First of all, you're
going to
get the intro right.
Right. You definitely got to get the intro right.
It's welcome to the Wrestling Realm Presents Championship Culture.
There it is.
I'm
right
ready
there.
To guy. And remember, every belt has a story. So right. Continue.
And then he goes, okay, then he goes like this. Today's belt is... You guessed it, about the Undisputed Universal Championship. Now, you know what's different about this championship is this is actually version 2. Now, if you know by now, version 1, which is most famously made by The Undertaker, this is not that version. This is the version made famously by Brock Lesnar. So around 2002, Brock Lesnar won a championship. And if you notice the difference between this strap and the other strap, this is styrofoam. This is just specific. But the other one is most notably not the same material.
Nobody's going to stop them?
I'm almost done. Now, you know, every belt has a story. So let me tell you about this one. I was at North Point Flea Market, and I happened to be walking past a gentleman, and this championship title was there. And I noticed that the price said $20. And I said to myself, no way. Let me go back. So I went back and I noticed and I said, excuse me, sir. Is that really $20? He said, yeah. So I purchased that and a couple of Wii games and I gave him a couple extra and I ran out of the building. Ladies and gentlemen, that's my time. Hope you had a good time today. And just like I said before, every championship, every belt has a story. Join me next week as we continue to break down some of the greatest championship belts in championship culture history. I'm your guy, Brandon the Guy Guy. I'll see you next time. And then the music goes off. You see?
But did he have to reach down like that? Thank you.
I'm just saying, though.
He got the story down with the flea market. You remember that story?
That's
been a very impactful thing to you, wasn't it?
We know you for 20 years.
You know how bad I wanted that to be my story to be walking past right. And see that massive title for $20 sitting on the table because nobody understood what they had.
Bro, I remember I was half asleep when he called. And I was like, wait, you got what?
He was like, yeah, the real thing.
So I thought I like to participate. But if you thought that I didn't have notes, you've been sadly mistaken, good brother.
But not he reacted the whole episode. We gotta clip that out. Please definitely. Clip that. Did you write down the times?
I gotta put that.
That's gonna be the next episode.
Right.
So with that being said, like I said, Brother Guy, with all jokes aside, one of my favorite shows. I like to participate. One of the things that you pointed out the most.
No, baby, that's for somebody else. We're just gonna keep you right where you're at right now.
I just got the dusty. Here's my comments on the topics of that show. I'll say this is my first thing. I keep stealing Ashley's line. She doesn't watch the show, so it's okay. Let me just say this. Natalya and Charlotte Flair set the tone for the development and the building of women's superstars in WWE today with their match at that first NXT TakeOver. Right? That's a bold statement I'm making. And the next statement I want to make is that Sasha Banks versus Bayley at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn is the greatest NXT Women's Championship match with that title in this era. If that makes sense. I stand on that with my two feet, and there you have it.
But remember, that was one thing I pointed out. That's the rivalry that I go to first.
That was the first thing you said.
Rivalry with it.
That is what you said.
Now, see, that if I was like, dude,
with that version.
Yeah, with that version. I wasn't going to be like Drew Willingham and just like, well, for the sake of debate, I'm going to go the opposite direction. But I was like, well, no, I'm in. This, shout out to Drew. This time I'm in agreement with you, Brother Brandon.
You're
like,
full promo mode. Right. See, brother, that belt has 746 stones on it. It had the most stones ever on any belt whatsoever. I'm like, how did you know that fact? Like, why does he know that?
Drew Willingham from the In or Out Sports Debate is very, very, very detailed. Shout out to Love Drew Willingham, one of our good brothers.
Definitely an interesting show.
Yes, indeed. But today's show is going to be
the whole show just for wrestling for me was perfect.
See that he's such a generous good brother. But today's show is just as generous is because we were hit with, first of all, a blockbuster announcement after a strong week of professional wrestling. Right? Mm-hmm. We just got done with Bound for Glory, Impact's Bound for Glory event that took place in Chicago. Correct me if I'm wrong. I heard CM Punk was backstage. Rumors, I don't know. We're going to get into Halloween Havoc Night One, the fallout from that, as well as everything else that kind of happened this week. And then once again, we got this bombshell announcement that at the end of Bound for Glory, current Impact president Scott D'Amore, I believe he's executive vice president or whatever he is, president of Impact Wrestling, he came out and he made a shocking. He first of all, he cut a very passionate promo. And he pretty much said that we are going back to our roots. For 20 years, this name has been chanted all around the world in every promotion in these situations, which he's not lying. And he made this huge announcement that Impact Wrestling, come January 13th, 2024, at I forgot the name of the pay-per-view just that fast, but I know it's going to be
Turning Point. Right? No, it's not Turning Point. Oh my God, what is it called?
Hard to Kill, yes. I believe Hard to Kill at live from Palms at the Palms Center in Las Vegas. They will officially be returning to the TNA wrestling banner. like wow. That's pretty much the meat and potatoes of tonight's show. We're going to get into that. There's so many details. We're going to have a great discussion about it. We're going to go down memory lane. We're going to talk about our favorite teenage wrestling moments. We're going to talk about what we're looking forward to. And then we have a very special championship culture segment for the Belt King himself, Brandon Guy. Because I went, did anybody go back and watch Scott D. Moore's Q&A with Tom Holland? I don't know what his TNA name is on ImpactWrestling.com or Impact on the YouTube channel.
I didn't.
This is perfect, man, because I actually went back and watched it, and he addressed a few things, and we have a, you can only imagine what this is, what we had set up for Brother Brandon, as far as that portion of this show. But we're going to get into all that stuff. We're going to have a good time. But good brothers, I believe it is time to ring the bell to get into what exactly we watched this week.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
And there's the bell.
That ain't it.
There it is. Good brothers. As the show begins, what did you brothers get into this week?
Well,
today, wow.
Who wants to go first?
Today is the 25th anniversary of one of my favorite pay-per-views ever. In WCW, that was just flat out bad. But you don't find this stuff bad when you know, an innocent teenager who just like wrestling and want to see all these dream matches on one night.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what is currently playing, Halloween Havoc 1998. Now, on paper, it's a great, like, you got, it's what WrestleMania 19 was, four main events at the end of the show, that's what you have. Scott Steiner versus Rick Steiner.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Nash versus Scott Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Bret Hart versus Sting.
Yeah. Yep.
Hulk Hogan versus The Ultimate Warrior. Mm-hmm. And the main event, Goldberg versus DDP.
And sadly, this would go down in history for all the wrong reasons.
Right.
But I still love it.
Now, Brian, I'm with you, buddy. It's because I was right in the thick of this. This is when I was yes! WCW through and through. Like, I'm telling you, I'm with you. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the build-up to this was magnificent. Like, even if you go back and watch, those Nitros heading up to mm-hmm. Halloween Havoc, they did an excellent job. Like, granted, whatever happened... because of time purposes that affected the company afterwards, mm-hmm. it's all business. But what happened up to that point, and even the show itself, I literally just watched it maybe sometime last week. I couldn't agree with you more, good brother.
You know what's also good about this?
What's that?
This is around the time WCW NWO Revenge came out.
Oh, yes, it was. Yeah,
that was about that time.
I remember, and this is where I go back, being
one of the greatest
Usher Boy rehearsal.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Oh, I said one of the greatest wrestling video games of all time. No, but I'm more interested about you being an Usher Boy rehearsal. Keep going.
I heard it.
Oh, you have it?
Yeah. Remember when I bought the 64?
I don't mean to sound like the realness from 1998. Yo, can I hold that? I'm going to give it back, I promise. What's the HD cord that
Adam,
you got two?
Shout out to Amari Roberts back in the clubhouse days.
That's crazy.
I was chasing the 64. And mind you, so it was me, him, Justin, the owner of the Wrestling Classic. Y'all seen the Instagram page. And Mika and Nikki Bushi. We was all in there. We was talking about video games. And I said, yo, I'm trying to find a Nintendo 64. Trying to find. And I said, I never had Revenge. He was like, bro, we got Revenge here all the time. And where I think Chicago. I said, what? He was like,
bro, I remember you telling me this.
Yeah. So he said, bro, I will send it to you. So he sent it to me. And what happened was, by me not having the 64, I didn't realize, like, when the system dirty, it just goes, it don't cut on, right?
Right.
So I'm like, yo, did the game stop working or something? So I buy another one. eBay, it works for a little bit, then it stops. So then finally, shout out to the store in Towson. I took the 64 up there, and it was like, oh, dude, all you gotta do is just bring it, we'll clean it for free. I said, all right.
How clutch was that that store was even there in the first place?
Yeah, because it was in White Marsh.
It was in White Marsh. They moved. Yep.
Yep. But yeah, so that's how I got that. You know, but it's crazy because as great as that game is, the markup isn't like No Mercy. You're not finding No Mercy no less than $30.
Okay.
No, you can still get Revenge at a decent price. So yeah, you can have one of them.
Oh, I was gonna pay you, but I'll take it. I was like, man, I got $10 for you, but shoot, you're gonna give it to your boy.
I'll take
the game off your hands indubitably. No, thank you. I appreciate
but
it.
Yeah, when this came out, I remember we was at Usher rehearsal, and I was talking to my god brother Marlon, and Marlon and Michael would always bring the magazines to the church, especially Marlon, because he was older. But any
with the game. Okay, go ahead. I'll tell you something about the little strategy guy that used to sell at Walmart.
Come after he got the game.
Okay, either
bring a strategy guy or bring a pamphlet. But so he brings the game to church. I mean, he brings the book. He's like, yo, they got this new game called WCW NW Revenge, man. I can't wait till it come out. And of course, Marlon buys the game, has it for a few weeks, trades it in for whatever. But that's how I got, because Warzone had came out like 2 months before. So we was playing Warzone. And then Revenge came out. But yeah, that's what this. I always think about that coexisting with like this pay per view.
Are you sure it was Warzone that came out before that? It was. No.
Yeah. Yes. 98. Yes.
You're right. It's because WWF Attitude didn't follow up that great. Like everybody was like, "Oh, it's cool because you can get X-Pac now." Remember, that was a big point.
Attitude. See, now, I disagree though. I love the attitude.
I like the attitude, man.
Because it had a bigger roster.
Hear me out. I did too until WCW vs. NWO Revenge came out. Because then it was I had played WCW vs. NWO World Tour, and it was basic, but the gameplay was easy. Like I first time on 64, I figured it out, and I was like, "Oh, this is fun." But you know, at the time, WWF was hot, so everybody was that. But then when WCW vs. NWO Revenge came out, I was like, oh, no, this is it. Because they had the entrances coming out, and you could change people's attire colors and stuff like that. And it wasn't quite create a player, but the gameplay was easy. And this is, like you said, this was at like peak WCW.
It's you crazy.
You can get guys like Juventud Guerrero with the mask or without the mask. It was that roster was ridiculous what they added on there. But go ahead.
Now, I was going to say, so what's funny is Revenge, like the 64 games I'm learning, didn't have real music.
No, yeah, they didn't have real music.
Because PlayStation was a CD, and I was a PlayStation guy. So all of, like, well, what you call it didn't have real music. Well, Nitro was, like, they had the music on the entrance, but it was basic. But Thunder, as bad as, like, it was the sequel to Nitro, but they actually had, like, a music video package that, you know, halfway to the ring, and that they would play before your wrestler, Matt Russell, and they had the real music. Mm-hmm. So that's what I liked about Thunder. And again, you could change their outfits. So I would put Sting in, you know, put him back in WCW sometimes. I put Bret Hart in the Wolfpack, you know. Yeah. But yeah, the video games, man, but it was clutch. And I thought Attitude was a lot of fun, but then SmackDown came out. And then it was easier to play.
Yeah, once SmackDown kind of took off, that was the end of it. But yeah, that... if you notice it, no one ever talks about WWF Attitude. Warzone, they barely talk about Warzone, but Warzone was like the first real video game we got since probably what, WWF In Your House.
Yeah.
Which I ended up liking when I got older, like, you know, freaking 2000 something, you know, when that game came out in 1996.
It was the first simulation since Raw. Because like those other games are arcade games. So it was like the first simulation. But yeah, I mean, and then, like I said, I know for me, like, it was wrestling. Give me the game. So I was on the both WWF Attitude and Warzone.
Mm-hmm. No, no doubt. What about you, other good brothers? What'd you guys get into this week?
I did the same thing I always do. Talk about belts and Buck Brandon. That's it.
You ain't watch no wrestling.
Nothing. No wrestling.
Well, I'm gonna take you down memory lane because I did watch as I was looking back at, you know, the NXT. The two matches that I remember, and I looked at them again, and I would challenge y'all, go back and look at Asuka's run. She was vicious at first. Like,
oh, big time.
Yep.
I didn't realize how that match with her and Bayley, when she made Bayley pass out and she won the title, it was like the first time we had seen something of that caliber in the women's division in a long time. Like, Jazz was vicious, but this was like a different level. And then I really thought how they built up Ember Moon at the time when her and Asuka was fighting, I thought she was the one to take the belt from her. That's why I thought it was so great when she actually won the belt and then Asuka presented it. So I was like, oh, that was kind of neat, because I'm pretty sure if she didn't get called to the main roster, she might have been the one to end the streak, because they just matched energy so well. But if you look at it, if you go... And Asuka was took on the whole women's division in NXT at one point, it seemed like. And it was so, even with like Nikki Cross going toe to toe with her, and you know, that spot where they did the suplex off of the ladder on through the state, I mean, to the announcer's table. I'm like, was that announcer's table? It was some kind of table. And it was like, oh, they're going for it. And this is like edgy because we still were establishing the women's division, you know, they were breaking out and making theirs, but NXT was doing some, I don't want to say Attitude Era type stuff, but that's what it felt like. Yeah. And they were, I just challenge you, go back and watch any match, just put Asuka on the YouTube on NXT. I mean, on YouTube, say Asuka NXT and just watch one of the matches. It's insane.
Well, if you pay close attention, Brother Brandon, you hear me say it all the time. When every time Asuka has a match, and like, well, why don't they just go to Asuka? I said, because you can't do that. I said, I always thought she was watered down on the main roster, and Vince would like let her go, and you know, but then pull her back. And I was like, well, he kind of has to, but if they let like real Asuka go, she's going to destroy everybody. She's going to have a freaking Roman Reigns type title run, and it's going to be, somebody has to be just as mean and vicious or go to that level to dethrone her. Like, she's vicious. That Japanese strong style is not a thing. That's not a moniker. That's a real thing.
Yeah,
it's no joke. And Asuka, she was immediately one of my favorites from the beginning, because I've always been a fan of that style of wrestling. I just, during that era, I was just getting familiar with it. Like, I was going back to watch old stuff, you know what I mean? But to have that kind of
Stardom stuff compared to NXT, I was like, she seemed like she was more vicious in there. NXT, it was like she was with a purpose, making her stand out. You get what I'm saying? Like, it felt like,
no doubt,
like, put eyes on her. This is who we're backing. You know, to the point I was like, oh, okay. She got the undefeated streak, and it felt like it was done. It was a fresh undefeated streak. And that's why I was a fan of when she won the Rumble. I really think that they kind of lost the ball for her letting her lose at Mania. But we're gonna just let that die, because that might be another topic, because I feel like you kind
of... Uh-oh.
Yeah, that might be another topic. She should have the wrong person won.
Looks like we struck a nerve, brother.
Well, it is.
I disagree.
We struck a nerve, brother.
Because she had so much momentum that was faltering on Raw, but if it had been down day and age, she would have won the Rumble and kept that. Yep, that's all I'm going to say. Look at Rhea Ripley. I'm mine.
There we go. There we go. Shooting. She's shooting from the hip.
Mm-hmm.
But
pew, pew.
No, I definitely encourage anybody to go back and watch anything from Asuka's NXT days. She's one of the greatest to ever do it. But one of our greatest moments in the history of professional wrestling was the advent of an alternative known as TNA Wrestling. Apparently, Good Brothers, it is making its return. But Halloween Havoc, night one, before we get into that, because that, yes, yeah, so, ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. We're definitely getting into TNA Wrestling and its return and a few of the comments that Scott D'Amore had made about what is to come and what are we looking forward to. But like I said, Halloween Havoc, night one, Good Brothers. What did you think? We got another week of Halloween Havoc as they finish off, but night one, I know Brian H was like, "Oh, I can't wait to get into this week," and I know Brother Brandon is, you know.
I'm gonna say one thing to start the conversation.
By all means,
can we just agree that Brian Pillman Jr. doesn't even exist anymore?
You see how fast that didn't take.
He don't even look like the same guy from AEW. He looked like a whole. He looked like a whole different package person. I'm like, is that really Brian Pillman Jr.?
Yeah.
His whole wrestling stuff. Who said, here, do this instead? It looked like he was a whole different person. And not this just for the package of him, the way he wrestled, his ring gear. I was all into, you know, I like ring gear. I was like, whoa, that's actually pretty cool. Just like a breath of fresh air. Like,
if I had the soundbite, I'd start playing Shawn Michaels' music in the background right now. Doom, 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 doom. Like, just this
later. I'm saying, look what you messed up on, Tony. We're gonna fix it. Don't worry. Because if that was that was only the first match. Now, was it five stars? Was it a great match? It was a good match, and because the presentation made me say, okay, I want to see what he's gonna do next.
Yeah, and that's
gotta have a great work rate. Everything don't have to.
No, go ahead. What Brandon's about to say is a very valuable point. Go ahead, Brandon.
Everything off the gate don't have to be a five-star match. Sometimes you just gotta get there.
Thank you.
Because I'm vested. I want to see more. Like, I'm not saying
that's a great whole point.
It was like, whoa, what can this guy do now? Like, this is what you gave me. Okay, I'll tune in next week to see what he's gonna do now.
And I think that's what they set out to accomplish. There it is. Perfect. So if you want to know, ladies and gentlemen, who's responsible for getting Lick King over just that fast?
Yep. What, 3 weeks worth of vignettes and then boom. Literally. Was it 3 or 4 weeks?
I think it was 3, wasn't it? I think it was 3.
Because I feel like they teased it watching the TV and then finally he said something on, you know, NXT WrestleMania that night. Didn't he finally say something that night?
Yes. That's when he made it. That's when he finally made it clear. And we were just like, every time now we talk about NXT or something crazy going on, just hit the music and it's just gonna be like, ding, ding, ding. You already know who's responsible.
That man is cooking on all cylinders now. And I'm saying,
all the sauce. That's right.
He seems unleashed. Am I tripping?
You said what?
He seems like unleashed. Like Shawn Michaels is really in his bag right now.
Yeah, this is my show. I'm gonna do this, and guess what? We're gonna keep rolling because
he made us old fart wrestling fans care about this new group, and that's what you're supposed to do. Though you took old school principles and you applied it to modern day talent, and all you needed was a solid presentation because they're in the performance center, the Capital Sports Complex is what they call it. You know, when they're on TV, and a TV deal, a nice play. It's the old TNA effect. Isn't it fitting that tonight's show it worked? Like, listen, let's get a nice arena, let's pack it out, let's light it up, keep the same presentation, same principles, and introduce new talent and take our time doing it, and then sprinkle in a couple of familiar faces to help bring them along. Mm-hmm. It's working.
They have a sold out crowd that's gonna chant, and people will probably. You got tourists, but then you got people that are faithfuls that probably know every Tuesday night we're going to see NXT. Let's go get in line because we know we're going to see NXT.
And the line is usually deep in the parking lot.
Yeah. And I can say, the other thing that I was surprised about, I said, I thought Blair Davenport was going to be the one to take the belt. But I'm surprised I was like, oh, okay. I'm okay with Lyra Valkyrie because the way that she won, it kept Becky. She out Becky Lynch.
Sure.
And I was like, oh, I'm with that. I'm okay. I just hope that night two they don't run it back and, you know, high shot the belt back. But I was like, that's good. I'm okay with that. Yep. I was perfectly fine with it. Good match, but it was a good And the last thing, of course, you know, Jade Cargill. But I'll say that for one of y'all to talk about that. Because
well, you running through everything.
I'm just saying my shark. 3 points, and I'm going to sit down. Because that was the highlights for me, them 3 things.
Let me say this about Alexis King. You know, just sitting back, we saw the vignettes. I like the fact that they told us his name. Usually I'm like, let's wait. We don't need to see reports and all that. Right. But I think had he come out there, he was like, I'm Alexis King, we would have felt like, oh, they assaulting our intelligence. Sure. But we got to show enough like history and a reasoning behind it. And I remember watching him. When I first found out about it, I was like, oh, okay, Brian Pillman's son is wrestling. I'm like, all right, I'm interested. You, naturally, I tend to, with my favorites, I tend to like watch their children and make a judgment from there. But they, you know, usually start off with an extra 2 points.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked them in MLW. When it got to AEW, I ain't like them no more. I felt like, even looking at them, I'm like, bro, just look, like, what the heck is this varsity club jacket? And
varsity blonde.
Yeah, you getting thrown around. Like, come on, bro. Like, seriously. And I remember you kept saying, yo, he need a mentor. And I'm like, well, I don't think they do believe in mentorship over there. No, but you look at him, his body done got better just like that. You know, before he looked, you know, looked a little pudgy. Looked like he just played video games. And I say that because that's like one of the things his sister talked about on that episode of Dark Side of the Ring. Okay. And if you watch that, you watch the episode on his dad, it really, really makes you root for him. And you see,
I still can't do it, brother. I'm sorry. I can't do
it. I feel you.
I know, it's bad. Usually that's the point where Brian tries to convince me to watch it. He said, I feel you. I was like, oh, I said, I know it's bad. Never mind.
It's just like, I mean, stuff you've seen before, it's just told in a different light. Especially you watch the DVD, but you get to see him like really talk about, you know, because nobody thinks about the children. You got to figure he was 3 years old. Sure. So you really get to hear his perspective about everything. And then just, unfortunately, some of the abuse he went through. So watching that, it's like, all right, you know, I really want to root for this guy. I'll say that, like, you know, we exchanged a couple DMs during the pandemic when everybody was going crazy and he was just trying to like figure out a way like to support everybody, especially like Black Lives. And so, you know, we exchanged a couple DMs. So you see, like, okay, he's out here. The kid is trying to figure it out. And I heard him on Austin's podcast years ago. And he admitted, like, he's like, dude, I'm getting opportunities I shouldn't be getting, but because of my last name, and I'm just trying to learn.
Yeah.
And now to see him come out there. The match stuff, that's going to get better. You know, you're going to get the work rate. I'm glad they didn't make it a squash match because he shouldn't be squashing anybody. You know, and I just thought everything was good. I'm interested to see, okay, where you go now? Where do you go from here? What kind of program is he going to be in? But I thought the vignettes, everything, the storytelling was good.
Well put together.
No, but it's to you, good brother's points is that's what NXT is really for. It's for development. And we kept saying he needs development. He had been getting reps and reps and reps, but the reps weren't really developing him the way it needed to be developed. And eventually they just ended up letting his contract expire. Because everything is not just about just giving reps. After a while, it's like, okay, no, somebody's got to cultivate and develop and teach the psychology of whatever it is that makes wrestling superstars. And I said it 1,000 times. I said, man, this guy needs NXT. I said, he'll be a star in NXT. Yeah. And you know, not because of anything in particular, but simply because DX is running the show. But happy to see his debut.
But there's a space for him there.
And that's also true, though. Once again, it's a smaller situation. It's not so oversaturated. Your young talent is the focal point. You know what I mean? Like that's their space to learn, grow, and contribute. You know what I mean? They don't got to sit there
on the marquee. He'll be on one of those billboards. He'll be on the side.
It's only a matter of time. And I think everybody knows that. We know that just like everybody else knows that. But you know what also that we know? TNA wrestling has returned. So as we shift gears, NXT Halloween Havoc, we have another week of NXT. Am I saying it correctly? Is it supposed to be it's another week of it, right?
Yeah, because you guys get Mellow and Dragon.
Yeah, that's what
hold on.
Again,
hold on. Wait, yeah. we can slow down. Slow down. Slow the car down a little bit. Carmelo Hayes, did y'all see him last night? Has he convinced you that he didn't do it?
No, I'm not buying it. Come on, man, cut it out. I know he did it. You're not going to tell me he didn't do it. I've watched this. I've been around long enough.
I'm about to say, you somebody who worked with teenagers. He looks like that kid in school. Like, yo, did you take that girl's book? I don't know what you're talking about.
Bro, swearing he didn't take it. And the open book bag is there. And you're like, bro, you swore on everything that you knew.
Open your locker.
Sitting right there in front of you. And I'm like, you knew we were going to go check. You knew we were going to go check, and you still lied anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel about Carmelo Hayes right now. So, yeah, I knew exactly where you're going, Brian H. Yes, that's exactly what I'm looking at right now. This guy, as the table turns, Trick Williams versus Carmelo Hayes is going to be a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
But it's going to send Trick Williams into babyface stratosphere.
As long as he is not on commentary.
Uh-huh. No, you know he finna be on commentary.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. I feel like he'd be out of thinking doing this. Yeah.
Bro.
He
do.
Uh-huh. I like that.
But Trick love it.
When Wade Barrett was doing that, I didn't understand what he was doing. Wade Barrett's like, this is a treat to Booker T. I'm going to do it. Yeah. All right. I was like, what is he doing? I didn't even recognize what he was trying to do. And I was like, oh, he's doing a little Booker T thing when Trick Williams' music comes. I didn't get it. Mm-hmm. But
bro.
Yeah. Next, we have another week of Halloween Havoc. And yeah, this it's like, this is what Brandix loves, soap operas. As the world turns, this is going to be another one of those situations that's going to be very explosive. And if anybody knows about somebody betraying somebody, it's Shawn Michaels. Brian H hit the music. If anybody can give anybody pointers about,
he can give you a quick turn, a slow turn.
Hey, we talked about betrayals today on Fan Club.
Did you?
Justin definitely talked about.
I'm telling you,
it's me, him, and Chris the B. He's like, all right, first betrayals go. Barbershop scene. Bro, I was mad. I was 5, 6 years. I was mad.
I was so confused as a kid. I didn't know what was going on because I was young. Like I was back when I was
rockers together in the magazines and
exactly. And that's exactly what I'm used to seeing. I was like, wait a minute. I'm looking at
lucky like they best friends,
right?
Like real talk, that blue logo
mm-hmm.
is as much as I associate with Hogan, Warrior, Savage. I also associate with the Rockers.
Me too.
So it was like, come on, bro. Like, really?
It was one of those situations.
Sting is on my TV right now. And Sting got on the real Dwayne Allen gloves. Except they're red.
Oh, man. They don't even make them in red anymore. I tried to find them.
For real? Oh, man.
Not that way anymore. They make them differently now.
Yeah, but you know
exactly. I know exactly what gloves you're talking about. But speaking of Sting.
This is for the U.S. title.
I feel two ways about that match. I'm not going to get distracted with WCW greatness. I'm going
because I just watched that match the other day. Even though he was high,
he did an excellent job hiding it. I would have never known. At the time, I enjoyed it. I didn't realize how bad it was.
Sick.
It was that goatee Sting and the red and black, and you would get used to Sting looking one way, and then he would change. You'd be like, all right, now I'm used to him being another way.
And now I'm ready for him to go home, take off the face paint, and just Asian or something.
Crazy part is, I'm really not ready for him to. I'm not ready for Sting to retire. I'm just
please,
ready for him to see.
I would love for you to see Sting in person wrestle, but then
no,
I'm scared for you.
I didn't say wrestle. I like his presence. I like Sting's presence. I want him to sign a Legends deal so we can get more Sting merchandise.
With WWE,
yeah, with WWE. Like that's what I would prefer because they're going to keep his legacy alive, but. You know,
right?
Sting's not going anywhere. Sting's going to keep his hair slicked back. He's going to keep his face paint. He's going to make $5,000 a signing.
Mm-hmm.
Going to comic book conventions and wrestling shows, just showing up with his jacket and his shirt on and making a ton of money. But TNA wrestling has returned, good brothers. Bound for Glory in Chicago, as we mentioned before the show started, they mentioned Scott D'Amore came out, cut a very passionate promo about legacy, about righting wrongs. About the spirit of what Impact Wrestling is and always was, and He made the announcement that as of January 13th, 2024, at a hard-to-kill pay-per-view or a premium event, as they call it now, at Palms, Las Vegas, TNA Wrestling is officially back. It crazy part is, as good as the show was, because it TNA has always stuck to what they do best, and that was the lane that they chose to stay in. Like, they knew that they're the ECW to me of today's wrestling landscape, where it's that we're not going to try, we can't compete with them. We can't compete with them. We're just going to do what we do and try to make this a place where people want to come see this too. Mm-hmm. And that was the attitude of a Paul Heyman of ECW. And those, you know, they couldn't compete with the production of WCW or WWE, but they put on a product that it was enough of an audience came to see what was going on. And I've just noticed that over the couple of years since Scott DeMore and his executive staff have taken over, we've been seeing that, right? Impact Wrestling has been known as the Island of Misfit Toys, but they still was a destination spot during the pandemic. They were one of the wrestling shows that still had empty arena matches. You know, we saw the resurgence of the Briscoes in Impact Wrestling. We saw the rest in peace, Jami. Saw the Good Brothers return once they got released. You know, we've seen Impact give so many superstars opportunities. We've seen Jay White. We've seen just most recently Will Ospreay. You know, he's set to be the biggest free agent in the world in just a short time. And Impact is in the center of that. And now they felt like at this point in their cornerstone of their legacy, they are going to go back to their roots. They're going to go back to what they felt like is the heart and soul of what they already do as it is. And they're going to go back to the moniker of TNA Wrestling. Good Brothers, what were you all thinking when you first heard the announcement or saw the clip or whatever it may be that it's first of all, did anybody see Brother Brandon just smiling ear to ear? He's trying so hard to be like, cool. Like, I caught it. Like, I happened to just look down at the screen, the monitor. But where were you all when you found out that TNA Wrestling was returning, and what were your initial thoughts? Anybody just jump right in, casually talking. We're about to wrap up. We're not going to be here too long.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
The first thing I thought about, first of all, I was at home making graphics, Championship Culture, 8 o'clock on Tuesdays. But thank you. I appreciate it. But
ladies and gentlemen, give my hand.
Oh man, you guys are great.
First thing I thought about, I was like, I wonder what Brandon's thinking. What were you thinking, Brandon?
That was a perfect segue, Brother Brandon. What were you thinking?
We get new belts.
Yes, sir.
We get new belts. I was like, oh, the belt. Now, don't get me wrong. I've said Impact/TNA has had some of the most beautiful, standout, some of the best. Hey, one of their belts was in my top five. But I'm just saying, they've had some very, very.
Where does this belt fall in line? Where does this one fall in line, buddy? I'm in sorry. Teenage Winged Eagle. Impromptu Championship Culture.
Yes. But this I'm just saying,
the belt king said there was something wrong with this. And he went crazy enough and got another one because he's a psycho when it comes to these details. It doesn't matter because guess what? This belt needed a home. Hey, you know what my line is? I have a home. Ooh, okay. Well, let me put mine down because yours looks way more engraved in detail.
No, keep yours up. Let's talk about it.
All right, come on. Here we go. Let's talk about it. Go ahead. You were saying it.
I just feel like the TNA logo is more impactful. Then say it, Impact.
I see what you did there, brother.
You see what I did there? TNA Wrestling. TNA just rolls off the people. Like what Scott was saying, he wanted people to start. So we're going to bring back what you've been chanting for the last 20 years. It has some weight to it because it's almost like nostalgia, but it's nostalgia because they never changed that formula except for that one time when they were trying to compete. But they said, nope, that's not what made us who we are. That's not what made us famous. We had, like, if you want to call this one their version of Wing Eagle, the Big Eagle was the next version of this. You know what I mean? Like, it just went bigger. But then they said, oh, let's get ourselves together. That's not who we are. And I'm not saying they haven't been successful, but I think they finally figured out there's an audience for this because I don't have to compete with WWE because they don't come out and bash and they don't come out and say things. It's always been a there's WWE and there's TNA. Not it's WWE versus AEW like it is now. It was never a thing where it was ROH versus TNA. It was just ROH is right there, TNA is right there, and WWE is right there. So that's what I enjoyed. I've been enjoying a lot more TNA to the point that you maybe care about Steve Maclin, a guy, what, maybe a year or two ago, we like, oh, he was part of the Forgotten Sons. Who cares? But repackaged, gave him a point. Josh Alexander, when what you call it left him, he was like, what's going to happen to the North? Oh, I care about it. He's the world champion. The walking weapon. They established these people, so they've been doing it. And let's be honest, when you get somebody like a Mickie James that gives you that legend surgence in the women's division, it opens the door for a Trinity to come in and add it in because you have a Deonna Purrazzo, you have a Jordynne Grace, you have established women that were homegrown almost, that found their footing there, and now it's the perfect mix. It's not taking a Becky Lynch and coming over and saying, I'm the best in this division, or Charlotte Flair, look at me, put all eyes on me. It's no, put the spotlight on the current stars and these people we're bringing in. What the TNA formula has been, like a Christian Cage. He was written off in WWE, Kane was the world champion. And that's my segue. I don't know if it's true. I saw what Sean Robb tweeted, but if...
Wait, hold on. Hold on. I missed something.
Yes, you do.
Nope, we ain't doing this. Hold on. This is live. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to my phone. There's a group. There's a message in the group.
Yeah, he said that.
What did Sean Ross say? He says, there is not because if there were, Ric Flair would have been. Oh, wow. Christian Cage is a jerk.
Bro. Vicious.
But I thought it was something like, wait a second. Then I was like, I read that. I'm like, that's terrible. Anyway.
I'm happy that they're going back to what works because just like, if you look at it, NXT knew their black and gold what they were. The 2.0 was a, wait a minute, what are you doing? Too much at one time. Shawn Michaels found the blend to go back to their roots and to actually say, no, this is what made us special at first. We can mix the two and still have a great product. Impact finally figured out TNA that being TNA, watch what happens. Like, the legends in TNA come back as needed. The beautiful people are not oversaturated that they're coming in, taking the tag belts, taking the women's title. Unfortunately, a bad thing. Tommy Dreamer came in and won the digital media championship. But
why, bro?
Because he was wearing Dusty pants. It was a tribute to Dusty Rhodes around Dusty's birthday.
But
you don't have somebody. Not feeling it? Okay.
But you give the Motor City Machine Guns a resurgence in their career.
Yeah, every time you think they're done, man, once again, they come back home.
But they you still got Mike Speedball Bailey. Thank you. You have him there that's almost becoming like a staple for it. You know what I mean? Like, even though he still does the indies thing, he's almost like a TNA wrestler now. You have these people that's there that's our staples in this. Okay, I'm not just going to see a cycle through of people coming and going. It's I know I'm going to see certain stars. Like, I'm happy Eric Young's there. I hope he doesn't leave. But
no, I don't think he's definitely leaving that because you know he just left and went to WWE for like a week and went back.
Mm-hmm. But look
like,
at Joe
like Hendry. The fifth time.
Who cared about Joe Hendry really until TNA?
Listen to me. Him and Matt Cardona had that thing when he made that song about him playing with wrestling figures in the tub instead of being with his hot wife. I was like, who the heck is this guy?
And why,
because this is freaking hilarious. Why is it so funny right now? He made a music video with his face like a cardboard cutout in a bathtub playing with action figures. I don't know whether to be offended or triggered,
It was so many skits.
It was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the crucial things that you said, Brandon, is that Impact has been kind of, like you said, has been operating with the same soul as, you know, what we knew as TNA early on. Now, I was a closeted TNA fan. Now, what I mean closeted is because early on, I was excited to see it is because when I saw it, it reminded me of WCW Worldwide. And then TNA Impact, to me, are the pioneers of the small arena, successful small arena professional wrestling show. When I look at NXT, the version that we see now, it reminds me of, I think, Impact. It like really, the Godfathers is obviously WCW with Eric Bischoff did when he started it in MGM Studios, and then Impact Wrestling would follow that same blueprint years later, and I think NXT is following a similar blueprint today. So those early mid years, I was always critical of TNA because I was like, I do not want no competition. I don't want nobody jumping ship. I didn't like change. But there was a certain charm to it where I was like, okay, I'm not gonna lie, this is actually pretty good. And of course, there was stuff that was over the top and cheesy, and I appreciate it so much more now because I'm like, this was really, really cool back then. What, but no, that's one of the things I'm talking about. Like, see, I enjoyed seeing guys that I like. Enjoy seeing guys in main event scenes that I hadn't seen in main event scenes. So I enjoyed seeing Billy Gunn show up in TNA, not knowing what to call him. He comes up with a t-shirt where it says, like, no introduction needed. And he had Kiss prints on it because they didn't know his name. He was being called the Outlaw. Then he was called something else. And eventually they settled on Kip James. Kip, you know, the beautiful people. You know, but when he first came in, he was kind of still being Billy Gunn. I was like, yo, all my favorites who are not in WWE right now, they're in TNA. Like, same thing. All my favorites from ECW, WCW, and WWE that weren't there, I was like, yo, I can go to TNA and watch those guys. And I was literally trying to, half the show I would enjoy, half the show I wouldn't enjoy. Like, I didn't like seeing stuff like D-Ray 3000 and Sharkboy in tag matches against, you know what I mean? I was like, you remember D-Ray 3000? It was just Vince Russo stuff. Anyways, I enjoyed those first early years and mid years. I want to ask everybody their earliest memory of TNA, because you guys are going to laugh at mine. I'm almost sure I had the funniest one out of everybody's. But let's talk about real quick.
I wonder if me and Brian had the same one.
I'm curious. This should be good.
No, well, you mean when you say first one, like the first show you watch, or like the first?
No, like when did you first find out? Like, what is this TNA thing? Like, what was your first experience? Like, wait a minute, what is this?
That $9.99 commercial.
No, it's gonna be funny. Hold on. It's gonna be funny. Let's talk about some of the things that Scott D'Amore mentioned. Scott, I told you guys earlier, we talked about it earlier in the group chat, that Scott D'Amore had he had done a interview with Tom Holland. Like I said, I don't know what his real TNA name is. And it was pretty much a Q&A where he got to address the official name change, what they were doing, why they were Drew's doing it. And say what?
I said Drew is in the building.
Oh. Hey, Drew, how you doing, buddy? We were just talking about you earlier. but yes, so and we were like, so what does this mean? Oh,
wait a minute. Breaking news.
Uh-oh.
Wait a minute. We have breaking news. Oh. So wait a minute. So is Drew Willingham telling me that he's available for next week for the 100th episode of the Wrestling Realm Now podcast? Drew, is that what I'm hearing? Am I hearing that you're on PTO next Wednesday? Literally, the 100th episode of the Wrestling Realm Now podcast. Is that what I'm hearing?
On November 1st. Is that the first?
Mm-hmm. Is that November 1st, Brian H?
Yeah.
11-1.
Wow. We're going to get into that later. We're going to... let's continue. Scott
DeMore. He said, let's do it.
Scott, okay. It's on now. It's on and popping. Let's see if we can get this finalized. I have no idea. sorry. Scott D'Amore did an interview with Tom Holland, pretty much discussing about the name change, why now is the right time, what he was thinking, and what can we expect. And then he opened it up to the fans, and he asked a few questions, and a few of those questions are very crucial to as we kind of wrap this up, especially to you, Brother Brandon. So one of the first things that Scott D'Amore said he wanted to do was he wanted to pay homage to the past and the present and right some wrongs. He went on to say that he has no intention of living in the past. And what he means by that is he doesn't want to spend all his time explaining why things went wrong in the first place. He talked about there has been so many regimes and iterations of TNA or Impact. And, you know, their focus is to say, let's take what worked from each space and let's add them all together. Right. So let's take the best of Impact and what we kind of do is still the same heart and soul, but let's bring back some of the same tradition, the same ideas of why TNA started in the first place. He was in a room with Jeff Jarrett, and I forgot the other name that he named when they first came up with the name of making sure that it's total nonstop action. That was the term they wanted. Total. I don't know if it was Fox Sports, maybe it's Fox Sports Net, but they said we want. No, I don't know who it was, but they said they want total nonstop action. And that's where they came up with the name of total nonstop action wrestling. He made a few comments about just kind of embracing the original concepts of TNA and incorporating that into what we're seeing now. He feels like they have the roster now. They have the support. And he kind of alluded to growing the brand in 2024 as a focus. And one of the things that somebody said as far as the questions are concerned are, will we be getting new belts or will we be using old belts? And Scott D'Amore, first he danced around the subject and he said, you know, we're gonna respect the past, and you know, we don't want to forget the lineage, and we own the IP of everything. So it's not like they lost the intellectual properties that we have all the belts. At one point we were using it. He said, but we will be debuting all new championship belts. And he also mentioned that it will be a continued lineage of all the Impact Wrestling championships, right? So he says, as of today, if the change were to go into effect immediately, Trinity will go from the Impact Knockouts champion to the TNA Wrestling Knockouts champion. And same thing with Alex Shelley. He would go from being Impact World Champion. He would be the TNA World Champion. So those are the few of the points, that things that stood out to me in regard to what he... I would suggest everybody go back and listen to it and just hear what he has to say. It's very short, sweet, to the point, but it was very informative. And he just talks about his passion for TNA and the passion for, like, this is who we are, this is who we've been. And, you know, we're not going to get everything right, but we're going to try to, you know, this is what people want. This is the time to do it. Mm-hmm. And he feels like now is the time in the wrestling business where people are kind of clamoring for it. So I guess my question to you guys is, how do you feel about TNA kind of reemerging? TNA wasn't the most successful wrestling company, right? But TNA made its dent in wrestling history. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they did it without having, you know, a large billion-dollar budget. Uh-oh, something fell. That wasn't too loud, hopefully. That was actually the old mic stand. It's probably jealous because I'm sitting here with the new mic. But do you guys think this is the right time for this to happen? Do you think this is good for business that TNA kind of reemerges in today's landscape with AEW, of course, New Japan, WWE, and NXT kind of taking off, and where we are as far as how we as fans are consuming wrestling? I don't know if it's a coincidence, but AEW is not in the best shape right now. And I'm like, man, I don't know, man. A lot of people that might have left, you know, Impact to go to AEW, I'm starting to say, like, man, maybe they didn't make the right decision.
Yeah.
What are you guys thinking?
Free agency's coming up. You know, it's time.
It really is, though. Yeah. A lot of those contracts are coming up.
2024 is going to be if you think about how the status of wrestling and everybody wants wrestling. If you see they going to all these international markets, yes, the pandemic put a stop to a lot of things, but it feels like the fans are hungry for wrestling. Anywhere you go, except for apparently AEW. But it seems like people are, I mean, truthfully, it seems like they are hungry for wrestling. Look what TNA did. I'm sorry, Impact did in Canada. They had back-to-back shows there. And, you know, TNA always had a good following when you go back and look at some of the TNA iterations where they were going globally or internationally. They were selling out, and they were having huge arenas.
Yeah. And they're still on tour now. They just he made the announcement that I forgot where they're going. He just said it. He said they're doing like a live. The show's gonna be live.
And where's Will Ospreay from? United Kingdom, Will right?
Yes, yeah. He's from the UK.
Yeah, I think they're going to the United Kingdom next.
Yeah, no, this I forgot what country in particular, but they said yeah, it's going to be taped and they're gonna air it as a special that Thursday. One of the things he also said is like, you know, Impact is not necessarily going away. It's like he said, because every Thursday it's still going to be branded as TNA Impact. Our wrestling show is still called Impact. So there's going to be elements of both put into place. And to me, I think there's something going on behind the scenes that we don't know about for them to say, okay, we're in a comfortable enough place. Well, we feel like we can start to expand and really build this brand. Because that was one of the things that really caught my attention. He said, we're going to focus on building this brand. And he kind of alluded to traveling more. That's why they're going to be at the Palms Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas, January 13th, 2024. And I was like, man, they're probably going to start hitting these smaller arenas, which is because there's enough smaller arenas / convention centers where you could still, you know, sell out a good show. And I'm like, man. What does this mean for TNA? But I think the future is bright. Quickly, name a few names in AEW or WWE right now that's not being used that you think would benefit right now just from going back to TNA, just to capitalize on all the buzz, because right now there's spots open. Like if you look, I put the thing up. I don't know if I even put this on the screen yet, but this is their franchise. Like you're looking at this group. And don't get me wrong, this is a ragtag group and it's working, but let's keep it real. Like there's room, right? There's room for superstars to really come in and say, Hey, I want this spot. Hey, I can be next. This can be me. Do you guys have any people in mind that you say, hey, maybe they should probably either go back or maybe they should head to Impact and they might make a difference there? I'll definitely say one. My pick now automatically is like Ethan Page. I'm like, man, maybe you should have stayed, brother. I enjoyed what he did with Matt Hardy, but I'm like, well, shoot, man, we could have saw that in TNA. I think the Hardys should go back, to be honest with you.
I don't know about the Hardys. I think they need to do their retirement tour.
Here's the thing.
Anywhere.
They're really old, and like at this point, I think they're going to end up doing indie spots where it's like, I'm going to work these events while I don't got to do too much. Go get a big payday, do one or two spots here, call it a night.
And I'm already trying to put together a mega stable with him and Adam Copeland, Christian, and Jeff as heels.
Yeah, because Jeff Hardy can't work by himself the way he used to.
Mm-hmm.
He's still broken.
Right. So it's like, well, think about it. Those guys were TNA pioneers. Well, why not go back and they first of all, the big names? They can work at their own pace. You know what I mean? They're still money draws. And you mean that I think the Hardys would be a bigger answer to TNA wrestling right now than they are to freaking AEW?
Absolutely. I'm just thinking it's time for that retirement tour. And when I say retirement tour, I'm ready for them to start before they can't. I hope that makes sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. It makes absolutely perfect sense because I've seen Jeff Hardy. I'm like, man, I feel bad for him. Like he's when you're not wrestling every day, it's like you look like you just a step behind. And you know, they just look older, but it's. To me, I think that could be masked because TNA was the pioneers of the old wrestler. You know, Kevin Nash and Sting and all those old guys, they hung out there for years because in those smaller settings, you do a couple of TV tapings. Just the structure of the company wasn't there, but people like being there. Even Brock Lesnar admitted he wanted to go to TNA. They just couldn't afford to pay him what he wanted. He wanted with Kurt Angle. And they said, look, man, we got one Kurt Angle. We're not getting another.
Kurt said, you ain't getting my bread, buddy.
I'm going to say one person I think that would benefit from going back or going to TNA, Jay Lethal.
Yeah, I think Jay Lethal, I feel awkward about him because I feel like they're about to crown him the new Ring of Honor champion at some point because he's kind of climbing the ranks. But it's like that doesn't really mean too much these days.
Exactly. It's just,
you know what I mean?
Hold the belt. Here you go. It's no prestige to it, but I think that him with the roster they have in TNA could mix up whether he a world title, X Division, digital media, no matter what space you put him in, he could be that marquee match for you. Because Jay Lethal still got some stuff in the tank. I think he's being held back.
I think he is too, man. It's just I kind of want Jeff Jarrett to go back, but you know. I mean, why not? If you're gonna be 50 and just show up every week, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like
Hogan doesn't show up, I'm good.
You said as long as who?
But what about Johnny Wrestling?
Hogan doesn't show up.
I mean Johnny Mundo, Johnny Impact,
nah,
Johnny
Wrestling. Nah. Now those guys can stay where they are.
No, that's the same person.
I know, that's what I said. I was talking about Hogan too. No disrespect.
Oh, I was yeah.
No disrespect, because Hogan is back to being Brian. He's number one ever since Daniel Bryan disappointed him in that lackluster display that AEW has portrayed him in. I'm disappointed too.
I got a couple of names.
Go ahead. Here we go.
So I'm gonna start with my one that you're gonna think I'm joking, but I'm dead serious. Cameron or Arion.
Bro, let it go.
She just put on Pound Town Wrestling. She already said she wanted to do a program with Trinity.
She put on what?
Oh yeah, see that's a new promotion called Pound Town Wrestling.
Hey, clearly.
Hey, I'm gonna leave it alone.
Upscale.
clearly.
But another women's wrestler, Allie. The stuff that she was doing.
She needs to go. Yeah.
She should go over there. I got and you know who else though?
Tania Dashwood.
Definitely her. But
you gonna see me?
Hell no.
Oh, ouch!
Like she just came back from over there.
Let Stephanie have her run. She fought hard to get the WWE.
Dang, shames, bro. But yeah, let her work with AJ and them. Like she getting like life lessons. Keith Lee.
Yes, that's a big one, bro.
He needs to come back to Triple H.
I think, but you know, T-Day was always the impact was always the stop you did before you went back to WWE. Like, look at Eli Drake, look at St. John Morrison, look at Drew Galloway.
That's what even harder. Drew said, they tell people when they get released now, go do the Drew McIntyre, go do the Drew. But the last person, Scorpio Sky. I think Scorpio Sky.
Yeah.
Like, what is he doing? You know, here's somebody.
Didn't he get hurt again, though?
He might have. But, like, after, what was he? What, were they first tag team champions? Or second tag team?
They were the first.
And then nothing. So, and, you know,
he was the champion for, like, 3 days for the TNT one. Remember, he had the gold one.
Yeah, the Laker one.
Yeah, for like three games.
It was terrible.
He held that.
So wait, you saying by the time you got it, it already changed?
Yeah, by the time I ordered it, it was being shipped and it already changed. I was so mad.
Oh, shipping.
Is Christopher Daniels still in Ring of Honor? Still work with AEW?
Yeah, send him over. He needs to.
Yeah, he needs to go back. Yeah, like, come on now.
Yo, let me ask y'all. Y'all some TNA guys. Has that ever
I wouldn't go that far. Brandon.
No, y'all take that guy. For the sake of this conversation, has there ever been two dance partners that was like wrestling married that totally just separated themselves? And I mean that with him and AJ Styles. Years ago, if you told me.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Like what, 15 years ago, like AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, like they were like the Orton Cena of TNA. They was like the, you know, Austin Rock, the Hogan Savage. Even who's now, it was like Roman Brock, well, Seth and Roman, I should say. But then, most
Jericho
of the time,
like, the guy that we can't name.
Huh?
Jericho, the guy that we can't name.
Jericho, yeah. You know, and then even with the women, right? But even if you say something like, I wouldn't say this is her dance partner, but Trish Stratus and Mickie James, right? Even though they like separate, Mickie James was still successful.
She would go on to become her own big star in her own right. Yeah, yeah.
Christopher Daniels, if you tell somebody who didn't watch wrestling then, they would laugh at you. They wouldn't believe you. Like Christopher Daniels can't even sit in the same room as AJ Styles no more. Samoa Joe,
no,
could.
Not at all.
They may have been it.
There you go.
But Daniels doesn't,
and they both fought for the WWE Championship. Like that by itself was a, you know, right, two homegrown
TNA SummerSlam guys, right?
Yeah, yep.
So that,
yeah. Oh, Wendy.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, that was SummerSlam. It wasn't just on the B shows, B pay per views, but you look at that, and yeah, I'm like, dang, man. But he need to go back.
It's hurtful to talk about because it's true. But go ahead, what do you say?
What about Matt Taven then? Is he married to Mike Bennett? Because they keep putting them back together, but Matt Taven was the one that branched off, ROH champion. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
the whole kingdom needs to go back.
That's true.
But I'm saying Matt Taven, he stands on his own, and I'm not taking anything away from Mike Bennett, but I think Maria Kanellis overshadowed what Mike Bennett could do because she was always there with him.
How long are you gonna say that? Like, this, it's been this way the whole time.
Like, we don't know.
He
was done.
Yeah, exactly. He has never reached his potential.
Never.
It's because he had all the momentum in the world. He went to WWE and she got pregnant. And then he got in the best shape of his life. You know what I mean? They were ready to come back. Pandemic hit, he got cut. He was running his mouth, talking about WWE's not everything, do other stuff. You went everywhere else and was not a star. You went back to Ring of Honor. You still weren't a star.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and now you guys are Roderick Strong's whipping boy. Who would ever thought that Roderick Strong would be the center of something actually hilarious? And he was the centerpiece of something like that. And you guys are his heaters.
Yep.
Like, he never reached that space where he said he did. If he'd have kept that same look he had when we knew him, you know. But, you know, I digress. I have no problem with Mike Bennett. I like Mike Bennett. It's just that, you know, it's a little disappointing for him to be. But I think that whole group should go back. They all should go back to TNA. I think Brian Cage should go back. You know, he was on that Impact era of I call it the Billy Corgan era.
Yeah.
You know, with Pentagon and Ray Phoenix and Drew and Eli Drake in that era.
I didn't know he had a bond with Kenya. Like training and whatnot.
I had no idea either.
Yeah, Dark Side of the Ring.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't realize how Kenya was so connected to this generation.
With, sure, like, yeah,
him and the Young Bucks.
He did train a lot, didn't he? Didn't he when he won? He's a trainer, yeah, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's there's, I'm sure that there's a handful of names we could all name about you know, yeah, teenage wrestling. Back. Yeah. Only time will tell.
Apollo. You know,
yeah, he's probably one too, though. Apollo Crews probably needs to let it go. But I want to talk about Lance Archer. That's a good one, bro.
Lance,
Japan. But that's what I'm saying. You could reset. You can hit the reset button, man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's definitely got some buzz now. Just that name, people are gonna be looking. I saw a rumor. I don't know if it's credible, so I didn't get a chance to do a full deep dive. But for the sake of this conversation, that they were saying that CW Network is like interested in NWA.
Yeah,
and I'm like, yeah, I saw that.
Okay, so all right, I'm like, man, how cool it would be if they got TNA. You know, I want to see TNA awesome on a network. I mean, for goodness sake, WOW is on TNA, and I know this might not be popular to say, but WOW is very gimmicky. I want to like it, but it works for what it does, right?
It's very campy.
Yeah, you know.
I guess 80s, you know what I mean?
Right. You know, it's like,
yeah,
you know, why not have, I mean, it'd be nice if they could have two wrestling shows.
I think the landscape is really, I think AEW is probably the most trouble. Because if TNA ever gets in a space where they have enough money to offer people like legitimate contracts, I can see people turning down money. And I say that is because I watched it happen already with WCW. Like, we watched a young Terra Rising turn down $70,000 guaranteed to go work for maybe $20,000 less in WWE because Triple H had an opportunity to work 300 days a year versus working 170 in WCW.
Yeah, he wanted to work.
You know, he was young. He wanted to get better. He wanted to get those reps in. I'm like, so this guy turned down money. And they said Eric Bischoff looked at him like he was crazy. Like, bro, you're going to turn down the guaranteed money just and to work more? He's like, yo, I want to be the best in this business. Like, it's not just about money. And I think AEW's drawing point right now is money, because Tony Khan is a good guy. He takes care of his people. And people are in love with wrestling, and they have an affinity for TNA and their versions of it, or what they enjoyed the most about it, whatever the case may be. And I'm going to rattle off a few of my favorite moments in TNA history to kind of celebrate.
Do you think it's his philosophy of not cutting people and just letting the contract end as a good business practice, or do you think he's just stringing people along?
See, I don't know. I couldn't even speak on that. Because on one hand, it's like, okay, well, he's gracious enough to say, okay, well, I'm not going to cut you. I'll let you finish your contract out. And then on the other hand, it's like, oh, is this guy not really being forthright or upfront with people about who he wants or doesn't want, because he doesn't want it to be on paper to say, oh, he cut this guy. You know, it's difficult to be able to be a people person and take care of your business, because the business always has priority over the people sometimes. You know, Vince McMahon said he hated it. Vince McMahon said he never liked it, but it was something he knew he had to do, because he was like, I'm as much of a humanitarian I am. I'm a businessman. I've heard stories of Vince cutting people and him calling me, listen, I'm so sorry, I had to do it. If there's anything I can do, you know what I mean? It's not like it was this ruthless image of, you know, we blur the lines between the Mr. McMahon character and what we see and what we're hearing about. But I remember William Regal, when he called him, like, listen, this is something we just had to do. There's no room for me to do it. He was a man about it, like, oh, I'm going to take the heat, but it was nothing personal, you know? Mm-hmm. And I don't know if Tony Khan is that type of businessman at some point, is because his daddy's a rich billionaire. So
I'll just pay you until the end of your contract, then don't ever talk to you again.
It just kind of fades you out. I know, you know, a lot of the TNA, AEW originals were complaining of that, but you know, it's once again, being able to sign big guys and have these blockbuster moments and just kind of have these moments that make the company feel special. Congratulations to TNA. Congratulations to Scott D'Amore. There is a lot of rich history there in professional wrestling, and only time will tell. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to see what these straps look like, these new titles. I know Brother Brand is excited about these championships, but a few of my favorite moments. That means you know what that means, yeah, boy. A few of my favorite moments in TNA wrestling history are Jeff Hardy's debut, NWA TNA pay-per-view, Rhino winning the NWA title at Bound for Glory 2006, Christian Cage's debut, obviously, at Genesis 2005, who he had an exchange with Scott D'Amore and Team Canada and Bobby Roode. They were trying to recruit him, Eric Young and all them, to be a part of Team Canada. Sting's return at Final Resolution in 2006 was a big deal for me, because I was like, is he really coming back? And he did. Kurt Angle's debut on Impact, October 19th, 2006. I told you, this is that was my era, that 4, 5, 6, 7 era. 7 is when it started getting out of pocket for me a little bit. One of my favorite cage matches to this day is TNA Lockdown 2009, Sting versus Mick Foley in the Six Sides of Steel. I watch that faithfully to this day. Two old dogs going at it in the ring. They both look like $1 million, in my eyes at least. Christian Cage versus Abyss for the NWA World Championship 2006, TNA Lockdown. Let me see what else. Jeff Hardy versus Rhino versus Sabu versus Abyss in a Monsters Ball match. Famous spot. Jeff Hardy does crazy swanton off the top of the stage onto Abyss, onto a table. So on and so forth. But those are a few of my favorite TNA moments that I really enjoyed. And I'm looking forward to them giving us the history, you know what I mean, of what TNA was, and you know, it kind of celebrated, because right now it's a crazy time to be a wrestling fan. Do you guys have any special moments that you guys remember specifically about TNA before we kind of wrap this up and be on our way?
I just have two moments real quick.
Oh, we knew you were gonna have some.
No, I was saying these two. When Suicide debuted, I just remember the whole mystique behind it, because it was surrounding the video game, everything. And it was to the point that it took the behind the scenes to reveal that we had three different suicides in a small amount of time. I think that was some of Frankie Kazarian's best work when he was Suicide.
What about when he was Perry Man?
No, that's Christopher Daniels. That's right.
What did you say?
Christopher Daniels.
Christopher Daniels was suicide at one point, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was the second one when Kazarian got hurt. But remember the Curry Man. And the other one was when Christian Cage won the NWA World's title. Of course, NWA TNA World's title. That to me was like me being a Christian guy. That was like the combination of told you he could do it, you know, type of deal. So those two and honorable mentions, of course, would be AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels winning the NWA tag belts because he had the BME. I'm sorry, he had the Frog Splash, then BME. And I remember when they won it from LAX and anything with AJ and D'Lo Brown. That's it for me.
Brian Ish, Brother Hugh, guys got any special moments about TNA that you guys that remember or just stuck out in your mind that you remember the most?
Hulk Hogan.
Okay. I mean, there was
just
there
was, Hulk Hogan being a part of it. It gave credibility to me.
That's why I can't deny because it kind of did though. Like it was a big deal when it confronted his face. It was. I remember when they made the announcement about them going over because it was around the time Bret Hart was on his way back to WWE. They were doing that whole thing. And
that Monday Night War.
Yeah, that was a disaster.
it was exciting though. That Monday was like, yo, oh my goodness, nostalgia. I could turn.
They put the band back together.
Yep.
Yeah, that was it was just that. Like, oh, let's flip back and forth just for the sake of it. For fun.
Yeah. Now I was flipping. It's just holding up two screens. Let's be real.
That's what I said, man. We consume wrestling completely different these days, man. Mm-hmm. You guys want to know my first time I witnessed TNA? I didn't know it was TNA.
When?
What was that?
It was 2000 and whenever it was. The movie.
In the video store.
No, it was in the movie. It was similar. It was in a movie. What was the movie? With Chris Rock when he was the first black president.
Oh, head of state.
Head of state.
Yeah.
He was on tour, and he was he was making his rounds. You know, he was doing like a little campaign, and then he had this one spot where he was in a ring. And Road Dogg was in a ring, you know, just a very different looking Road Dogg. No braids, his hair was shaved. He had this buzz cut. And he had the NWA title on his shoulder. He was cutting a promo saying something, the greatest candidate for president ever. And you know, Chris Rock's character gets in the ring. And he's waving to the people, and I'm like, wait a minute, I see Ron and Don Harris. I see freaking DOA in the ring. And then I'm like, who? Kate Quick, Road Dogg, Ron and Don Harris. I was like, and then Jeff Jarrett, and they started jumping Chris Rock, and I was like, what the heck is this? Only to find out years later, like that was NWA TNA, fresh at the asylum, and Chris Rock actually made an appearance at NWA TNA in those early years because you know to promote the movie and stuff like that. Yeah, but I was like, I kept saying to myself, what wrestling is this? I was trying to figure it out because because anything wrestling that. You know, whatever it was, I was like, wait a minute, that was Road Dogg. I know Road Dogg when I see him. I saw Kate Quick, I saw Jeff Jarrett, and I saw freaking DOA. What am I looking at? Only to find out years later that was actually NWA TNA. So that was my first time witnessing.
Remember the DVDs, Brian? How they used to look like anime? How they used to have them drawn on there? Like the best of the exhibition?
Yeah. Those things, oh, yeah.
They were so cool. I don't care. That thing was, whew.
TNA used to put out some of the best compilation DVDs, now that you mentioned it.
The best of the X Division is probably one of my favorite because I thought one of Brian's memories was going to be when we saw the Canadian Destroyer in person.
Well,
that was when I first saw that. When I first saw that,
it became, you know, just a random move in the match.
Yeah, right. Now it's like it's a new super kick.
And when you're talking about somebody on TNA, MCW had Alex Shelley, Chris Sabin, Petey Williams, Sanjay Dutt. Who else was it at that show? It was the Shamrock Cup, right?
Yeah, a young Eddie Edwards. I know he wasn't part of TNA, but he had braids.
Yeah, and it was somebody else. I feel like I'm missing somebody.
Did you say Christopher Daniels? Was he there?
No, this was a Shamrock Cup. I don't think he was there. Was he? Right. But it was like a whole line of just TNA wrestlers, and we just went down the line. I was like, whoa.
That was Ruckus like, night, right? That was the night Ruckus won.
Was that him or Derek?
No, that was Ruckus.
Ruckus, okay.
Yeah. Because I remember not knowing who he was, and I just remember we was walking into the flea market, and then somebody said, there he is, and he's like, people ran up to Ruckus. I'm like, oh, okay. Black guy. And then, you know, seeing, like, Ref D. Edwards, who's over in TNA now. Seeing him in the ring, I was like, oh, they got a black ref. And that looks cool. And then, you know, I got, as I told you, used to be a quartet singer.
The gloves.
Yeah, with the gloves right. on. Doing the 619.
Mm-mm. Hey man, you better stop that. He used to sing with the True Ways back in the day.
Good for him. They don't stop him from going to 619. He did this. Yeah. He did the 619.
He gonna sing one of them quartets on you.
He needed a spot. Mm-mm. He did the 619. I always thought that was cool. I was like, yep, he's pretty cool.
That's when they used to throw Larry through tables. Larry was taking 3Ds.
He was taking bumps all the time. Fire exits.
Wow.
All he talked about was fire exits.
On that note.
Well, good brothers.
I never paid attention to TNA, honestly. Until I saw him at Bowie. They came to Bowie Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, hold on, Kurt Angle's over there? You know, Kurt Angle was like fresh out of the Attitude Era, I believe, from that point in time, and I was just like, all right, cool. Then he started getting into battles with him and Samoa Joe, mm-hmm. one of probably the best rivalry in TNA history. But
Gail Kim, Awesome Kong.
Really give you one. I mean, other than that, that's all I remember. Oh, yeah, Gail Kim, Awesome Kong. That's a good one, too. And then, of course, everybody knows.
Yeah, of course. You know that goes without saying. You know, he's just a superstar now. You know what that is.
He had no personality, though. He was just bland.
He did
have a personality, man. He was kind of like, what did he remind me of? He was kind of a mixture of like kind of how Edge was when he debuted, where like you couldn't figure him out. Like he didn't say much. His attitude was just kind of like throw my hood on, smash my hood off, pose. Yeah, he was kind of mysterious.
Yeah, Bruce Pritchard said that if they could have got the AJ style, he'd been trying to get the one that they had when they got the WWE. He'd been trying to get that for years in TNA. He said, because he always believed he had it in him.
But when he was about to get to that point, they wanted to go and ignore Nick Aldis, and they didn't want to pay him.
Yep. Thank you.
They have to take did they want to cut his salary in half?
Yeah, they wanted him to take a pay cut after all that. I'm like, wait a minute. Like, he was like, yo, I'm your top guy. Mm. And he turned that corner in Japan. That's a whole show by itself. He turned that corner in Japan, and then the rest is history. But like I said, we're gonna wrap this up, man. Shout out to you, brothers, once again, and your excellent expertise and your experience navigating through total nonstop action wrestling, TNA wrestling, which is making its return to the wrestling scene. So I'm kind of happy to see TNA back. We used to joke on TNA a lot. We ragged on TNA a lot. Even when Kurt Angle was the general manager.
Why are you talking?
There you go. Even Kurt Angle kind of took a shot at TNA when Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn got fired. And he's like, oh, yeah, I hear TNA's hiring.
All right.
That was good.
Mercedes Martinez.
How many times do you do that? Why you still have the light shining on the belt directly?
His is way more detailed than mine. Like, I was fine with mine, so I keep looking at that. I'm like, wait a minute. Why is yours more detailed? Down real quick. Yeah, but.
Hey, oh, yeah, two more. I was just saying. Mercedes. You know that, right? Wow. Uh-oh.
Yeah, I know that.
Okay. I didn't think you'd do that.
I know that.
But you know my ring light. I just wanted you to see it, okay?
Okay.
Yes, the Spurs lost.
Would you make bets on FanDuel?
No, Brother Hughes, a Spurs fan.
Oh, that's why I'm so angry.
There's a whole lot of hateration going on around here, man.
My team go down. Everybody go down.
Wait, let me see your logo. Put your logo so the people can see it. You do that. Was his edge. I can't tell you why I don't have it anymore. Yeah, you got details. What you talking about?
Come on, man. It's not as detailed as yours. So don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah, I see it.
It's there.
It's there.
Now see when you pull it back, you can't see no details. So you can still see yours on your shoulder. When I'm like this, it's just like it looks like a flat in AWA Kurt Hennig, Nick Bockwinkel championship. Because that joint was real flat, like you don't see no etching on it.
60 minutes raw, baby.
But follow us on all social media platforms at Wrestling Realm. Subscribe to our Patreon, Twitch, and YouTube at The Wrestling Realm. Gentlemen, we are on our way out the door. Anybody have anything else left to say before we wrap this up? Look, Brother Brandon's done. He's done. Everybody has a story. Make sure you check out
Polly.
Make sure you check out Championship Culture every Tuesday, 8 p.m. on youtube.com/WrestlingRealm. We are continuing on this streak of NXT. Is that correct? Did I get that right? Are you still riding that wave, brother? We'll see. Might call it Autumn. I don't know. TNA is kind of hot right now. We'll see. The super producer, they're making faces at each other, like, no, you better not say
a word. I'll wait for Hugh to answer the question.
They've got some tricks up their sleeves. This is,
yeah, we do.
I just want to see. Okay, all right. So there you go. See, listen, Championship Culture. Like I said, if you miss it, if you thought this show was fun, oh boy, check that one out. Next week it is our 100th episode of the Wrestling Realm Now podcast since we've transitioned to this format. And I believe we're trying to book something special. So stay tuned to all our social media platforms. Stay tuned to all of our individual social media feeds. It's on the screen if you're watching. If you're listening to it, I suggest you go back and watch. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. We're heading out. And for the sake of TNA, cross the line. Yes, that was me. That was not a voice thing. That was literally the realness himself doing that TNA thing. But I'm not going to prolong it. We're out of here. Ladies and gentlemen, have a good night. Peace out. We're gone. TNA is back. Cross the line. Mr. Water.